You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405. We have a great conversation today. Part of what we're learning in this time of COVID constraints is that we're far more global than we thought we were. So when I got on the conversation with Mike Nunez, who is the Chief Communications Officer for Inkfile, and found out that he is in Puerto Rico, which, you know, you're as close as my my administrative assistant, who is just down the road. So we really do have crossed some barriers here. So welcome, Mike.
Thank you, and I'm impressed with how you said my last name. That was pretty much right on spot.
Well, I grew up in South Texas, so 80% 80% Mexican American is the town that I grew up in. So that was pretty important to be able to do that in terms of building relationships.
So yeah, it did great.
So tell me a little bit about what Inkfile does.
Sure. So Inkfile. Well, you know how business formation and you know, I know all of us have family members and such that have tried to make corporations, and it's such a tedious process, and it's typically confusing even for professionals and business owners. So Inkfile acts as the one-stop shop for entrepreneurs who would prefer to focus on their big ideas rather than drown in paperwork and filing. In fact, we've helped over 250,000 entrepreneurs make their business dream a reality.
All right. So what does that mean? I mean, I have put together LLCs for people. It takes, you know, 3 or 4 days of some time to focus on it and pull things together. So what does Inkfile do?
Sure. So Inkfile automates the entire process in less than 30 minutes. All you have to do is fill out some specific information for you, choose the type of entity that you would like to be, and that's going to depend on a lot of different factors. But I would say by far most people these days choose an LLC, a limited liability corporation, and then they, if it's a small enough business, if it's a single person, they'll choose to be an S corp. In other words, choose to be taxed as an S corp when creating an LLC, and all that means is that the revenue from the company flows to you personally, and you're taxed at your personal rate. That's the S corp election. We make all that very simple. You mentioned 3 days right now. With using Inkfile, it can take you 30 minutes, and then behind the scenes, we're doing everything necessary to register you with the state. And 1 or 2 days later, sure enough, here's your business formation, your federal employee identification number, everything you need to open a bank account. Matter of fact, we can even help you open a bank account. Anything that your business needs to get started, you can find at Inkfile.
That's wonderful. And so this is all going on behind the scenes after filling out that spending 30 minutes filling it out. So this must be an enormously expensive endeavor.
Well, you might think so, but our base package, our silver package, which is the least expensive, is $0 plus state fee. In other words, we make $0 off of your incorporation, but the state certainly has fees, whichever state you choose to incorporate in. So we can't pay those for you, unfortunately.
Yes.
Our cheapest package is $0 plus state fee, but I would say our most expensive package is $299 plus state fees, and the value that you get for that arguably is better than the $0 package. It's pretty incredible.
What happens with the $299?
Sure, you get all things like, for example, there's a website included. You get some tax consultations. You get a domain name included, just basically anything you need to get your business started. I don't think we have enough time for me to list all the things that you get in the Platinum package.
But either way, if I just wanted to get the business up and running, it's zero plus the state fees.
Yeah. In fact, one of the requirements of having a corporation is that you have what's called a registered agent. In other words, if you're going to receive mail from the government, you have to have a place of, that they can deliver it to between the hours of, I believe it's 9 and 5, Monday through Friday. And so a lot of people don't want to use their home address for that. And so we have a registered agent included, a registered agent service included for the first year in that $0 incorporation. So it's truly an incredible value. And the way I like to think about that is, you know, these are entrepreneurs that are starting their businesses. They're brilliant people. Like, they should be spending their time focusing on their business, not on red tape that they have to figure out. And we make that as easy as possible and as inexpensive as possible.
It's amazing. So let's talk a little bit about the gig economy that we have. It seems to me that in the gig economy, one of the things that we have forgotten is that we need to start a business and not just be floating out there on our own as if this were a personal hobby.
It's so true. And if you have a hobby, it should almost be a business. Like that's certainly the way it should be. And let me say, you know, the gig economy, what an incredible time that we're living in, that we can work part-time whenever, wherever we want. If you wanted to be an Uber driver, if you wanted to be an Airbnb owner or renter, you could do so. It's pretty incredible. And so there's two main reasons why people would want to incorporate if they're an Uber driver or if they're an Airbnb owner or any part of the gig economy, a freelance writer, anything to that effect. There's two main reasons. One's going to be a tax benefit. We highly encourage you to talk to your accountant about the benefits of incorporating and how that works with your taxes. Just some sample ways that could benefit you is if you could write off things that otherwise would not be write-offs. One example is, and maybe this is a little bit of a torturous subject, but if you were a travel blogger, which I know today nobody's traveling anywhere, but if you were a travel blogger, being able to travel and actually write off your travel expenses against that blog, because you're treating it as a business. Now, it has to be a legitimate business. You have to be trying to make money. And there are many different ways that you can make money being a travel blogger. Or maybe it's something else. Maybe you enjoy making something at home and you want to sell them on Etsy. So there's many different things that you can do in the gig economy at home that you want to be able to have the tax benefits of having a corporation. The second reason is going to be liability. You want to make sure that you as an individual person are shielded from any liability from creating the business. So one of our commercials for Inkfile is a guy who creates an at-home LASIK kit. and in our commercial, the LASIK kit goes terribly wrong.
I can imagine.
As you can imagine. And he's shielded, right? Because he incorporated first. Or actually, I think in that scenario, he didn't incorporate first in our commercial. And you see in the background, you see the moving people coming in and grabbing his couch and taking it all away because he didn't protect himself.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, and I mean, just that whole notion of taking responsibility for oneself, right? That to me is what being incorporated means. You're taking responsibility and making some decisions about how you want to spend your time and what it's going to cost, what sort of resources you need. And the government makes it very clear that you can deduct things legitimately in pursuing those things that you want to accomplish.
Absolutely. Now, of course, the government expects that you're trying to turn a profit, right? And so,
well, don't we all?
Exactly. I guess I'm just trying to make sure that I differentiate between somebody who's going to, you know, they're going to travel anyway, and so I'm going to throw up a blog and create a corporation, and then I'll just write off all my expenses. No, the government's going to expect that eventually that business is going to turn a profit. And so that, again, that's something that you should probably talk to your accountant about to get, you know, actual advice from a professional, tax professional. But that said, you're 100% right, and there's no reason why you can't do that. Another reason is perception, Will. Like, if you can imagine, if you're about to land a client and they're like, who do I make this check out to? And if you say, oh, just make it out to me, Mike.
To me.
Like, that's going to be perceived as you're not a professional and you're not ready to do big business. And there's never been an easier time and to do so for $0 plus state fee.
Well, I think that's just incredible to be able to make it that simple and that inexpensive to do that. And to me, when we do that, we begin to understand that our life has a value to it.
Oh, you know, it's funny you say that. Well, like, I have this mental argument with myself all the time. It's, do I go mow the lawn or do I pay somebody to do it? And if I pay somebody to do it and the hourly rate comes out to, I don't know, $25 an hour, and I value my own time at $50 an hour, I'm just making up numbers here, then it's less expensive for me to hire that person to mow the lawn. And in this instance, it's not even, that's not even a valid comparison because we're doing it at $0. So,
well, that's certainly true for that. And what I've always asked people to do when they're trying to decide how to organize their life is just, you know, take what you make every year or take what you produce for your company every year and divide that by $2,000. I mean, the hours, that 2,000 hours is about 40 hours a week with 2 weeks off. Right. And it's amazing when people begin to recognize the value of their time.
100%. And it's not even just the single hour if they're an employee. So I started a business, which started me in this journey way back in 2005. And I sold that business not too long ago for a significant amount of money. And I made little to nothing hourly on that business for maybe 10 years. It's incredible how little I made, but I kept going and I persevered and it paid off in the end. So I think there's also the concept of where are you investing that time and is it best invested in mowing your lawn or in doing paperwork or is it best invested in actually growing your business?
Well, for me, and I share with other people very often the notion of I'm overwhelmed. I have so much to do, all these things. Well, one of the things, I don't know if you are familiar with the Entrepreneurial Operating System, EOS, but that's what I help people do. And in that, our real time management program is called Delegate and Elevate. Find out those things that you are not good at and don't want to do, or you might be good at, but you still don't want to do them. Delegate those to other people. And and so for so many CEOs of businesses with less than 25 people, they're sitting there thinking, how can I afford to do that? And when I help them to see what the value of their time is, especially when we look at the value of what they bring to the business, and then take a look at you know, a part-time virtual assistant who these days are excellent. Take a look at what they're going to cost you and think about what you could be doing with that time that you're not spent making an appointment. Well, and I don't know about you, but this appointment between us was made with my assistant and your publicist, right? That's, we didn't have to spend any time doing that.
Zero time. You're 100% right. It's and going back to your point of like them saying, how can I afford to do this? It's how can you afford not to? And it's right. A matter of prioritization. One one of the beautiful things sitting on the incorporation side of this, we see all these different businesses that get incorporated. There's one recently called extendyourteam.com. And what they do is find you virtual assistants overseas for little to no money. It's something like, I think it comes out to $4 to $5 an hour to have somebody, you know, basically do all of these things on your behalf that you know would take you hours upon hours to do. So it's pretty incredible. And to them, that's the equivalent of making, you know, $20 to $30 an hour here in the United States. So it's really good for everybody in that scenario.
Well, and as you begin thinking through that, this whole notion of delegating to people, you don't have to have a full-time employee to do that. Now, in California, you got to be very careful because they're not going to be 1099s, and that's a further reason for people to incorporate so that you're really working with somebody who's taking the responsibility for putting together a business, not just simply being somebody who says, I'll do this for you and we'll kind of worry about the money under the table, this, that, and the other. Or taking it on and not having responsibility for taking care of my own health care, taking care of my own benefits. And so what I'm discovering is that people have tremendous value that they didn't think that they could find a way of contributing. Yesterday, I had a conversation on the podcast with a fellow who is working in cybersecurity. Now, what he explained to me was cybersecurity right now works with certification, but that's not enough because people who want to have people work on their security want people who've had 3 or 4 years of experience. And what he's saying is that's not, we need hundreds of thousands of people and they have not had 3 years of experience. So he's putting together a national training program for people online where they can learn and then become mentored and then have internships so they can learn how to do it. And when you begin to think about that, that's a whole world where people, you can be at home. Nobody knows where you are and how you're doing this. It's amazing what we can do.
Yeah, it's so true. The distributed nature that we're able to contribute now and get and monetize that contribution, actually get paid for it, is pretty incredible. It's there's never been a time like today. I mean, you called it in the beginning of this in this call, like the fact that we are thousands of miles apart, but it's the equivalent of being down the street. And so it's a pretty incredible time overall. Just going a little bit further there, the whole, I think the key to success in absolutely anything, business and life, is prioritization. And that's what this is all about, is prioritizing what is going to be the most valuable thing for the business and where is it most important that I spend my time and that's going to bring the most incremental value for the business overall. That's where I need to put my focus. And focus, your attention, is way more valuable than any individual dollars, especially what you would be paying for a personal assistant or a virtual assistant.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely the case. Absolutely the case. And people are sitting there waiting to contribute. Now, one of the things I'm discovering is that I don't know what the numbers were before, but we know that there were only 20 million people using Zoom 2 months ago, and now it's up at 400 million. It seems to me that within the next couple of months, we're going to be able to recognize that 85, 90% of the people are going to see Zoom as just an augmented phone call.
Sure.
Which look at the difference. I mean, I've participated in meetings over the past 3 weeks. Sometimes there's 30 people in it. Sometimes there's 10. Sometimes there's 200 people in it. But it's amazing how we bond together, have chance to talk, laugh. It's amazing to me.
Yeah, it's funny that you bring that up for just because we're in the middle of all this social distancing, and I haven't seen members of my family that live outside my household in so long. We set up weekly Zoom calls. We basically family coffee is what we call it. Actually, tomorrow we're doing one, a cocktail hour for the family, and we're all going to get on Zoom. We're going to dress up and we're just going to socialize as if we were together. But it, you know, that's, I commented to my wife, I don't know, maybe a couple days ago, and I said, you know, I've actually seen more of my family on these Zoom calls in the last 3 weeks than in person in the last 3 months. So it's really opening my eyes to a whole new way of making sure that we stay connected. And we love it. It's incredible. It's a great way. And of course, translating that over to business, it's so important to see somebody's face and to know who it is that you're talking to. So I think Zoom or Uber Conference, Google Gmail has a built-in conferencing now that I believe is no additional cost. So there's multiple ways that you can accomplish it, but it's a pretty incredible transition. All due to COVID-19.
Well, and I mean, I know there's a lot of pain. I'm not minimizing the pain at all. It's a struggle. It's in my prayers every day. At the same time, there's such tremendous opportunity that we have out there. Because of this, we are learning how to relate, communicate, build community through this technology.
Yeah, the way I like to say that, Will, is if I could snap my fingers and make this all go away and get us back to where we were, you know, 3 months ago, and avoid all the horribleness of coronavirus, I would absolutely do it. And so would you, and so would everybody else, right? We all want this to go away. Unfortunately, we can't control it. So we just have to do the best that we can with the what's in front of us. And what's in front of us is video conferencing. We're at home. We have potentially, I feel for the parents out there. I certainly don't think that they have more time on their hands,
right,
but
right.
Some of us have more time on our hands. And so all we can do is use that time as best that we can and make the best of the situation that's in front of us.
Well, what I'm discovering is a new discipline. When I have the time, then I focus on things that I have just not focused on before. Because I have the time, I went in and reorganized the silverware drawer, right? It was a mess, but I had the time. And for the past 3 years, I just ignored it. You know, my project right now is organizing the books in my library. And that's, it's because I have time there and I'm becoming more efficient, more effective, and I'm not driving around all over the place. Big difference.
I love that last thing that you just said. The company that I mentioned earlier that I built and ended up selling, we went to a distributed workforce. We were in an office, and this is back in 2012, 13. So this is early on for people to do this. And we had an office, and it just didn't make sense because all of our roles could have been handled at home. And so I made a deal with my coworkers and said, you know, if we go work from home, that means all of us are going to have up to 2 more hours per day. And those hours are going to be filled by something. It might be filled with more work. It might be filled with sleeping. It might be filled with watching television. If we do this, I want a deal that we're going to all use it to improve our lives in some way. I don't want it to be for more work. I don't want it to be to be in front of the television more. I want it to be, you know, whether it's exercising, whether it's meditating, whether it's reading, whether it's whatever it is to improve our lives, let's all agree to fill that time with that. Otherwise, something else is going to fill it. So that commute time that you just mentioned, you know, it is there. And again, I want to be sensitive for the parents that, you know, they certainly have children, and they're probably listening to this saying, where is this free time that you speak of?
Right.
For the parents with young children. But for those of us that have older children, my youngest is 15. So he doesn't take as much daily focus as somebody who might have a 6 to a 10 year old. But for those people that can really use this time to come out of this, you know, improved in some way. Me personally, I've been exercising more than I ever have, and it's making me feel incredible. So I'm trying to use it in that way to improve my life. And somebody can use it in that way, or they can use it to start a business that they'd have always been thinking about. And there's no better time than now, no easier way than now.
Right.
And even their friends that they have to go and get feedback from, they're going to be at home too. So
yes, right. That's right.
They can get more feedback.
Well, and there's something about this being at home that helps to filter a lot of distractions. When you're in the office, you're with all these people, and that was one of the things that I heard people, well, you know, I'm not in the office. I don't want to work at home because I'm missing all of this. But I'm wondering now how much of that, all of this, is distraction.
You know, there are estimates that's as much as 50% of the day is distracted in an office environment. So I couldn't tell you if that's accurate or not.
Yeah.
All I can tell you is that I've witnessed it. I've been there and I've been in offices, and the temptation to go and catch up with Bob or Carol for the day,
right?
Just see how their weekend was and talk over coffee. And, you know, it's the temptation is there. And you know what? In a way, as an employer, you're happy that your coworkers like each other. It makes it a positive work environment, and so you certainly want to foster that in some way, shape, or form. But certainly not at the expense of efficiency. And so, you know, one thing that one additional positive, if we're trying to look for positives in this situation, is that, you know, you can actually put that into a specific time frame. Here's an example. Like for me, the way I like to work every day is I wake up and when I start working, I like to attack email, get everything where I am the bottleneck out of somebody's way so they can move forward. And then I'll go and I'll focus on, you know, something else that nobody else is worried, that nobody else is waiting on me for. And then maybe 4 hours later, I'll go check email again and I'll say, okay, what are people waiting on me now? And I'll get that out of the way. So I spend those 2 hours a day, the first hour and the fifth hour, basically getting things out of people's way. So that it allows me to basically schedule that time. And going back to the social aspect of a business and environment, you know, you can almost schedule it. For us, we actually have on Fridays a social hour. We don't want to call it a happy hour to be considerate of those who aren't drinkers, but we have a social hour where people can bring their beverage of choice at the end of the day on a Friday, whether that be a soda or a cocktail, and just socialize and talk. And we use Zoom, and Zoom is able to even break out into random rooms. So
yes,
it's actually been a nice way to get to know people that otherwise you might not know.
That's right. And to me, I'm hearing this, the breakout rooms is slowly beginning to filter in to people for whom Zoom is this astounding thing. Where has it been all my life? But what I'm finding also is exactly what you're saying is that when you have 30 or 40 people, or you're in a network with 350 people like I am, we get together every quarter, but that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
But because we get together on happy hour once a week, different people come in and we get to know each other at a whole different level.
Yeah. And you can focus on each other. And but by the way, one tip there that I always found works well is if you have a group of three, try to put one person in the group of three that knows both of the others, right? Even those two that know each other. So you have somebody acting as the facilitator between the two.
Well, that's good. That's good. Well, I think one of the things I was talking with a real estate fellow on the show last week, thinking about what's it going to be like when the lease terms come up for these companies that have large spaces, and they're recognizing the value, not just tolerating, but recognizing the increased productivity and the value of allowing people, encouraging people to work from home or remotely. what's going to happen when they look at what they're paying for all that space, and could they really be using a lot smaller space?
Yeah, I think we've been in the midst of a commercial real estate transformance for many years now, and most recently thanks to Amazon. But from a retail space perspective, that so far, I think what you're saying and what I'm agreeing with is what's happening to retail is likely about to happen to office space as well.
Yes, yes.
Where it becomes a little bit too expensive, and it's just less expensive to be all online. You know, my wife and her she just has so much wisdom, and I appreciate having her. One of the things that she's always said is you're going to work hard. Regardless of what you do in life, right. You're going to work hard.
Yes.
That's not a choice. What your choice is how much money you're going to make working that hard. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that comes from decision making, from education, from an effort mm-hmm. overall, what you choose to go into. And so, you know, for those people that are wondering, do I go and open a retail space or do I open up an office building right now? I would say no. I say you're going to work hard, and it's going to be not as fruitful as if you were going to open up something online. And not to mention, you know, as we get more and more self-driving cars, you know, mm-hmm. what's that going to do to parking garages? What's that going to do to real estate when we don't need parking garages anymore? Is that going to be a boon from that perspective? Is it be less accidents, and we're going to not need as many body shops? Is our insurance company is going to make less money?
Like, I don't know about your insurance company, but mine's giving me a rebate on something or other because there's not as many accidents right now. People aren't driving as much.
Right. Yeah. We are in the midst of an incredible transformance of everything in our mm-hmm. lives. And those of us that can see I think you said this a little earlier in our conversation. What does this look like in 6, 12, and 18 months?
Right.
Really get a head start.
Well, so let's talk about that. When you've been talking to lots of businesses. So what do you see that's going to be enduring in terms of this transformation? I mean, this is really an opportunity for a reset because there's nobody to blame. If you don't listen to the news or that little thing that happens every afternoon here in the United States, you don't listen to that, then you recognize there's nothing to blame. This is a set of circumstances. As our governor says, it's an instant in time and it will pass, but we're not going back to where we were before.
Right.
Because now we are in a whole different way of relating and community building and buying and selling. So what do you see that will endure 18 months from now?
So going really quick to the blame, and even if somebody listening wants to blame somebody, and you I'm sure you can, it's not about who's to blame. It's about how we react to it.
Yes,
and that's what's going to determine our individual success from and how successful we are coming out of this. Right. Again, blame somebody if you want. That's not for me to say, for anybody to say. But how you react to it and how you take action for yourself, now that's who you can blame whether or not you come out of this okay on the other side or not, right? So I think it's that personal responsibility that's going to be ultra important, and say, you know what? I can't count on others for my success. I think, you know, it's interesting. One of we do surveys sometimes, and one of the reasons why people say that they don't want to go start their own company is because they feel like they have a level of security at their current job, right? Well, there are 20 million people unemployed right now, over 20 million people unemployed right now that don't have that security. Remember that these companies, you know, they have a responsibility to their shareholders and to their owners to turn a profit, right? They're only the B corporations have a social aspect tied to their incorporation. So, you know, you have to do what's best for you as an individual. And that might be to go and create your own company. let me just say, I've worked for major companies. I worked for Google for 4 years. So, and was one of the most incredible places to work. And everything they say about working there is true. That said, I will always choose to work for a company that I own over working for somebody else if I have the choice. If I have an idea worth doing, that's where I'm going to go. So I went on a little bit of a tangent there. Well, let me bring it back to what we were talking about, which what this is going to look like in 12 to 18 months. I'm going to say what I believe. I think some of the people that are listening, you don't go by what I say. Look at your patterns. Look at what's around you. And of course, there's going to be external factors that are going to come into play here. So let me give you a couple of examples of what we're seeing. So one of the companies that incorporated with us, it's a company called Oliver Wicks. It's a suit company, and they actually made the suit that I'm making today. I talked to them, and they are hurting right now in this environment because people are not purchasing as many suits as they were prior to coronavirus. So that's one example of, you know, maybe you don't want to get into fashion at the moment because people are staying home a lot more. They don't need work clothes as much. On the complete opposite side of the coin, another company that incorporated with Inkfile is a company called BeveragesDirect.com, and they sell old time sodas, root beer samplers, cream soda samplers, things like that. And right now their business is booming. They more than doubled what they were previously selling before this. And the reason being is people want that comfort of old time home, right? They want to go back to the days where they're comfortable. Or even if they don't, it's a child. They have a child and they want to have a root beer float night with their kids, and they want those old timey bottles to make it really special. So I think number one is try to find an industry that is actually doing well right now, right? And if it's doing well right now, then in the quote unquote normal times, if we ever get back there, it should do well or even better than two. So that's one thing. I do want to say that I'm not sure what this is going to look like. My personal belief is that we're going to go through waves of this until they find some level of vaccine or immunization. So it's quite possible that we're let out of lockdown, so to speak, for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it is. And then we see a second wave and we have to go back under lockdown. So I think just make sure that whatever it is that you choose to do is prepared for that. And there's nothing better than working from home and being able to do so. And it's never been an easier time. USPS will come and pick up from your house for delivery. Yes. So will UPS, so will FedEx.
Yes,
so
yes.
You don't even have to go outside to deliver these things. You can make it at home. You can order all your supplies online. Get them delivered to your house, create whatever it is that you're creating, and put it out there. This, I think it's the third most common incorporation on Inkfile is consultants. People who have some level of knowledge of something, and they want to sell that knowledge. And so that's yet something else that you can do from home. And now with this shift that we're seeing away from commercial real estate that you and I had just discussed, it's less of a negative when you're calling from home. It's almost expected, right? So that's another aspect that they can control. Let me just say that, you know, America is built on entrepreneurship.
Absolutely.
And looking back, if we go back to 2008, the global financial crisis, where banks were in much worse shape than they are now, we had some incredible companies that came out of that. Airbnb started in 2008. Uber started in 2009, right? And right in the midst of the global financial crisis, two of the most commonly known names today, right? And even beyond them, Dell, eBay, Harley Davidson, even YouTube, which was bought by Google for, I think it was $1.6 billion. All started from home. And just to close out the point and to make sure that, you know, I don't want anybody to feel intimidated, like, oh, I'm not going to make the next YouTube. I'm not going to make the next Airbnb. You don't have to. There are tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of small to medium-sized businesses, making their owners and their employees a very decent living, all from home.
And I think that's part, I think you're right on that. That is going to be something that is with us. And I've heard a number of people say, when we get back to, or when we get back to normal, this is the normal. And learning how to thrive in this is part of our spiritual discipline right now. It's our emotional, it's our work discipline. It's not, I mean, hold my breath and pretend it's not happening, or I'll go through and put up with it. This is the time to be creative and learn, because as you said, as we have these rolling times of, well, you have to be home for a while, you're going to come back, but we can learn to thrive in the midst of this, not just to survive, but to thrive. And I really appreciate what Inkfile is doing. You're making it so easy for people to take responsibility by turning it into a business, LLC, an S corp, or any one of those to help people take responsibility and to. Well, we call a corporation means body. So it means really taking responsibility for the body of work that I'm doing. Yeah. So I really do appreciate what you guys have put together. How long have you guys been in business?
Since 2004.
That's great. That's great. How many corporations have you formed?
Over 250,000.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing.
It is pretty amazing. And then to your point a couple seconds ago, one saying that we like to have is everybody is the quote unquote CEO of themselves, right?
Yes.
You're making decisions on a daily basis for your health, for your future, for your financial health, for your physical health, for your family. You are the CEO of you. And so, you know, take that next step to grow. And now there's never, again, all sensitive, being sensitive to those that are suffering during this time. If we can make this go away, we could. We would absolutely make it go away, but we can't. So we have to do the best with what we have right now. Improve yourself. If there's never been a better time to do so.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Mike, for being with us. This was a great conversation. I really enjoyed it. Now, if somebody wanted to talk with you or wanted to take a look at what you're doing, where would they go?
Just go to inkfile.com. That's INCFILE.com. Inkfile.com.
And everything they need is right there.
Everything they need is right there. We make it as a super easy one-stop shop.
Excellent. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard, I don't think you've ever heard about the entrepreneurial operating system, but I'm going to have my assistant talk to you and get your home address, and I'll mail you a copy of Traction. And then maybe we can get on and talk about it, because it's something that companies who can improve their operating system makes a huge difference in their productivity and efficiency and effectiveness.
So I am familiar with the entrepreneur operating system.
Oh,
I have not read Traction, so I'm looking forward to it.
Just a question. Do you read, two questions. Do you read on Kindle or do you read in paper?
I read on Audible.
Audible. Great. I will send. Now, the second question is, if you had a choice between the textbook and stories, which would you choose?
Stories. I like stories.
All right. So I'm going to send you, an Audible copy of Get a Grip. And then we'll have a chance to talk.
So, wow, I didn't come on here expecting gifts today. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
My joy. My delight. So I look forward to talking with you about that, and it's been great. Thank you very much. What would you like to say to the world today?
Wow, that's a profound question to.
Yes,
to
indeed.
Maybe two things. One, I would say this too shall pass. Don't think this once per century event, don't take it lightly, take it seriously, please do. And then I'll one last thing is, one of my favorite things that Mr. Rogers always said was, in the times of crisis, look for the helpers, look for the doctors, the nurses, the people that are being selfless and helping others. It really, mentally helps us all get through times like this.
And hold up that mirror and see if you see yourself as one of those helpers.
Oh, I love that.
Great. Thank you so much for being with us, Mike.
Thank you for
having
me.
Have a good time there in
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico, my friend. Adios.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. To hear more of the programs in this podcast, go to www.willcrist.com.